Hi.
Yes, hello. We are here to listen to Helmut Krono. He'll talk to us about ephemeral Debian virtual machines. I think that's an interesting topic for developers especially, and I'll hand over now.
Thank you for the introduction. So for everyone who wants to follow the slides independently, you can use that link and switch forward and backward. So let's right jump into the topic. First of all, we are going to look at what is DevVM, how to use it, it's pretty new. Then reasons to use it or not to use it, and if that's not the tool of choice, then what may be the tool of choice instead. Before we jump in, I have a few words about myself. I'm a Debian developer for, I think, almost 10 years now. And the main topics I'm working on is architecture, bootstrap, cross-building, which are closely interlinked. In that context, I also do a bit of quality assurance all over the place, and some types of Debian embedded abstract adaptations. So I'm more into shrinking rootfs and like that. I'm a freelancer now, so if these topics are of interest to your company or like that, you may contact me for consulting. And I'm also working closely with Frixion, who's maybe known for being Debian's long-term support company. And Frixion is actually sponsoring quite a bit of work on this particular tool. So let's look into it. Before we can actually look at DevVM, we need to have a little focus on two other tools, one of which is mmdebstrap. Can you please raise hands if you have ever heard about it? Okay. Can you please raise hands if you ever have heard about debootstrap? Okay, so mmdebstrap is a drop-in replacement, basically, for debootstrap. Both of them are there to create a Debian rootfs from nothing. So you just put packages in there, and then you create the file system. In the Arch world, it's Packstrap, and in the RPM world, it's FeeBootstrap. And all of these basically do the same thing for different distributions. The major difference with mmdebstrap is that it builds on apt and dpackage, which are Debian core tools. So you can't run mmdebstrap on a Fedora system, unfortunately. And in doing so, it adds a lot of flexibility, like hooks. You can customize the rootfs during creation. You can supply multiple repositories and all sorts of bells and whistles, which is great. The other tool we are looking into is QEMU, which is a CPU emulator. And I hope that more of you know about it. Can you raise hands if you have ever used QEMU? Okay, that's a lot, great. What maybe not everyone knows is that QEMU is both a full system emulator and an application emulator. So you can emulate a single ARM binary as a process on your AMD64 machine, for instance. QEMU also provides a lot of flexibility, and as a consequence, it usually has really long command lines, which makes it annoying to use directly. Those who have used it directly maybe know. And this immediately leads to the idea, plug these tools together. Unfortunately, getting from rootfs to something bootable is not entirely trivial. And mmdebstrap already has the capability to produce an extended 2 file system, which partly solves that, but not entirely. And the next idea about plugging them together is completely exposing them as underlying tools and thus inheriting their abilities to customize what you do with them. And once you look into booting operating systems, you notice that for every architecture, you basically have a different bootloader, which is really annoying if you're dealing with lots of architectures. And on the other hand, you can just hand over a kernel and an innerd RD to QEMU and tell them to boot just that. So What DevVM does is completely sidestep bootloaders and just pull the kernel and the innerDird out of the image, hand it over to QEMU and boot just that, which makes a lot of things easier, especially if you're dealing with weird architectures like Debian ports. And then for simplicity's sake, the interface between these two tools should be one file system image. Like if you have to handle the kernel independently or some QEMU configuration file, that's all annoying, just have one file. Note that this tool is like 3 months old, which is about when it was initiated, so there's bugs inside and probably things to improve. And if you have any questions, just ask. So these are the rough invocations for how to use it. DevVM create is basically a wrapper around mmdevstrip with some additional options, and DevVM run is a wrapper around QEMU with some additional options, with the idea that you have this double dash separating the tool options from the wrapper options. And I can just use both after one another. To get an idea of what this actually does is best with examples, so that's where we're heading now. If you just run it, it'll give you an unstable change root or image. And if you want a different release, you can go down until Jesse, which is like 5 years old now. And you just pass the release argument. Then you can test old releases. If you like porting, you can tell it, well, I want an ARM64 or something else, and it'll just do a different architecture. Underneath, mmdevstrip uses QEMU process emulation to construct that rootfs. And sometimes you have a 32-bit architecture, but actually need a little bit more RAM than 32-bit allows. So you do want a 64-bit kernel. And if you tell mmdevstrip to add a second architecture to your rootfs creation, like multi-arch, who knows multi-arch? Some, okay. On Debian systems, you can tell the package manager that you have multiple architectures available at the same time and mix and match packages between them. And this is what happens here. And once DevVM sees, oh, you have an image with a base architecture i386 and additionally MD64, it'll see, okay, let's use this 64-bit kernel, and then you have it already. And if you want some other customization, Debian uses systemd by default. You can also use some other init system like system5 or busybox or something else, and it'll just do that. So let's head over to more complex examples. Now I need to hold it. What DevVM also does is automatically set up networking. So when you launch the machine, you get user mode networking, and the machine can actually just connect to the network like it wants. But a limitation of user mode networking is that you can't connect to the machine. It's basically not inside QEMU. So if you want to do that, we need to do extra measures. And if you want to SSH into your machine, you need to somehow deploy your key into it. And this is what we do here. We pass a key file during the creation, and it'll put it into your authorized keys. Then you run the machine, and you tell it, I want my SSH port to be some number, and it'll tell QEMU to issue a port redirect to that number in the user mode networking stack. If you want to script this, you usually want somehow to know when your machine is booted. So that's when I added another script, which just waits for that event. And once that happened, you can just SSH into your VM. That's actually how the test sheet works. Or for another example, if you want to have a more complex installation, maybe you want to test GNOME, you can just ask it to do that. If you want to do that, you need a little bit larger base size, the
image size it constructs by default is 1 gigabyte, and that's too small. Then I have added this hook. Since there is this double dash over here, the rest of options is actually options for mmdepthstrap, and we're passing a hook directory for further customization, which is run during the creation, and this hook basically says, like, make a user without a password, and then you can just use that user. By default, it would give you root access without password on the serial console, which is convenient. Another thing we have to pass here is recommendations. If you just have a regular Debian system, recommendations will be enabled by default. But if you use mmdepthstrap, it'll disable them by default. And for a desktop environment, one really should enable them, or some important piece is missing, so that's what we do here. And then we just include the task GNOME desktop, and also include a Linux kernel image, because by default, it'll select the cloud image, which lacks graphics drivers. Yeah, and once that's done, we can just launch the machine. By default, it'll give you a serial console, which is not what we want here, so we pass a -g flag to tell, well, I'd like a graphical interface. And at present, in the Bookworm release, you still need to pass I/O devices for keyboard and tablet. That'll be upstream soon. I've included the options here because you now need them. That's the one example. Maybe you want to install something else, like Ubuntu. That's also something you can do. You also need a large image size. You specify the target release on Ubuntu. Then you also have to specify a keyring, because Debian has Debian keyrings and Ubuntu has Ubuntu keyrings, also authenticate packages. Beyond that, we have to add the universe component, because Ubuntu splits up packages in a way, systemd packages, in a way that parts of the network configuration are not in main, and Debian relies on them being available. And at present, there also is a weird bug in InitRamFS tools that fails to pull in the non-essential package X2FS procs, which we do need here, or will just fail. Admittedly, I kind of introduced that bug because I made X2FS procs non-essential. Yeah, and once you've done that, you can just run it. You get a root prompt on a Ubuntu system in short order. Another thing you may want to do with it is booting RISC-64, which still is not the Debian release architecture. It's the ports architecture, and thus uses a different mirror and different keyring, which you can just specify, and then you get the RISC machine. So, well, one more example. Often you have a machine, you want to share files with it, and you can do SSHFS or like that, but you can also share a directory. QEMU has this conveniently available as 9PFS, or inconveniently available as VertIOFS, which really requires running it as root. So I automated the 9P version, which is probably insecure. You can add this hook, which will cause at boot to look into all the 9P devices available and just automatically mount them to media according to their mount tags. And then you also need the generic kernel image, because it's the cloud kernel image, doesn't include 9P drivers. And you need a little weird QEMU option to add the mount tag and the host path, and then you can read and write those files in there. Sometimes that's useful. So why is Debian something that we want to use? It can be run entirely without root, which a teeny little bit is a lie, because it uses user namespaces, and in order to use user namespaces, you need to use new UID map, which is a set UID helper, but it's commonly available on systems. So in essence, you can think of it as not requiring root access at all. It also helps to have KVM device access, being a member of the KVM group, or the queue emulation will be painfully slow. But in essence, you can install it with no, you can install it with no privileges and then just run it. The next part is that it usually has fast image generation. Unlike many other tools that require you to download images, you can just tell, I want for that particular Debian release or that particular architecture, include some packages, add some hooks, and customize my images. I'll have a command line you can share with others. And that basically tells how your VM looks without having to share a big VM image. This is mostly inherited from MMDebstrap, which is already being used for generating test cases as a container system. It also completely evades the topic of licensing and download and so forth, because it just delegates that to Debian. When you create an image, you use Debian keyrings to authenticate packages, you use Debian mirrors to pull the packages, and you don't get to deal with storage and like that. On the end system, you have this X image, and that's it. And what you also gain here is a uniform boot infrastructure, because we skipped all the bootloader stuff, which makes things annoying. On for the limitations. This really only works on really recent Debian systems and for Debian systems. So you both need Debian on the host and a fairly recent one, Bookworm, because we had to patch a number of other packages to work for this use case. So no, this doesn't run on stable. And it really only works for Debian-based distributions inside. And it also requires you to use X4 as a file system, because that's really hardwired into the tool. Trying to use it with ButterFS or something else will just not work. You also don't get any partition table or like that. So it doesn't conform to the systemd's view of how you lay out partitions with special UIDs to mark the root file system or like that. There simply is no partition table. And there is no bootloader, so you can't use this for experimenting with bootloaders. So that's about the problems we run into. The next part of this talk is about alternatives. So we already grasped that this is a tool you can use to just try out some things. If you've never run Gnome, you can just do it in a virtual machine, and you can just pull the things you need there. What if you don't want to use DebVM? The most similar competitor, and which actually is quite a bit older, is DQIB. It works quite similarly, except that it requires root for creating images, which is usually done on a cloud host, and the images are stored somewhere, so you're back to downloading images from some site, which means that you don't have this customization available. But other than that, it's pretty simple. You just download the image, you run it, simple. It gives you the right QEMU invocation. A little more flexible tool is MKOZ, which is from the systemd ecosystem, and it really supports many other distributions, both on the host side and on the guest side. Again, the image creation requires root permission, and MKOZ, like DQIB, also includes bootloader and partition table, and this is closely built on the assumption that you're using systemd inside. And it also helps if you run systemd outside, because it can just boot your virtual machine image as a container using systemd nspawn. And the other limitation here is that MKOZ only works for native machines. So DQIB especially is also meant for porting and thus supports lots of weird architectures. This one does not. Then there is libvirt, which is more like intended for production use cases. And it also supports lots of distributions. It also requires root. If you want to use more of it, you can use the LXC backend to have libvirt manage both virtual machines and containers. Like MKOZ, it only goes native. So if you don't care about porting, that's something. Yeah. In the default case, it also is a wrapper around QEMU. Then something that goes a little bit further is Vagrant. It's modeled a little bit after the container ecosystem, which uses layering of images. So in Vagrant, you typically have a base image and customize it by layering files on top of it. It still does virtual machines, so it's not a container system, but it can use lots of different backends, provides lots of flexibility. Just as far as I understand it, you still require root for quite a number of operations. And then if you don't like virtual machines, you can use containers. There's Docker, Podman, LXC. And the big difference here is you share the Linux kernel with the guests. And as far as I've seen, running containers is without root is still incredibly hard. It's annoying to get that working. I think Podman can do it at this time, but it's not trivial to do. And most container engines at this time have this please download our images and trust whatever this inside model of approach, rather than relying on the distribution you're already using, maybe. So that's the alternatives I found. And for my use cases, which is most often like I have some issue with some maybe old operating system of Debian or some weird architecture, and trying to reproduce it in a predictable way, I prefer firing up such a DebVM to just see what's going on. And with that, I can end the lecture and say thanks to the other collaborators and to Frixion, who's been sponsoring part of this work. Do you have any questions?
If you have questions, I'll bring this to you.
No questions. Everything answered.
Are there plans to use as host system, for example, Ubuntu, as a Debian-like distribution?
Well, I was too strict on that. So DebVM will automatically migrate to Ubuntu, and Ubuntu also has apt and dpkg, so it really means that you need to use a Debian-based base distribution and have it target a Debian-based distribution. And that, of course, includes Ubuntu. Just wait a bit until it hits the mirrors.
Would something stop me from installing apt and dpkg on a distro like Fedora and use the tool there?
Maybe only actually trying it. I haven't done that. Maybe it actually works. It really needs these tools as tools and not use the underlying package manager on that system. So if you actually manage to install dpkg and apt there, you may be lucky and have it work for you, yes.
You said that DebVM is a lot faster because it doesn't have to pull another image from somewhere else compared to others.
Yes.
Can you explain what is actually happening when it's pulling anything? Is there some connections it always does?
So what it actually does is basically what Debootstrap does. It figures out, so first of all, it downloads package lists as if you were doing apt-get update. And then it figures out what packages it needs. Actually, it doesn't do that itself, it uses apt. And it downloads all those binary packages using apt and installs them into a temporary directory and constructs the root file system from that directory.
And it change roots into this directory then, or?
It actually does a change root there.
Okay.
There also is a mode planned that doesn't require change root, but that's a bit further off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the change root is not that big of a problem because we're using user namespaces, and in a user namespace you are capable of doing change root even though you are unprivileged outside. Any further questions?
Okay, if there are no further questions, I would say thank you and have a nice day.